Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. No greater healing, no greater healer than Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless us with your Holy Spirit that our ears are open and our hearts receive your message of love, forgiveness and hope, that we may know the healing we have received in your Son Jesus and the full joy that we have of being loved by you and members of your family. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Immediately is the word that Mark chooses to emphasize Jesus' priorities. He's got priorities, all right, just like you and I have priorities, only his are different. His priorities were to do his Father's will. His priorities was to come for you and to free you from everything that's dark, everything that's evil, to heal you, body and soul. And right at this time, you would say, yeah, great, Pastor, great leading to the sermon. Like, I've got an incurable disease. I've got a loved one who's got an incurable disease. I've had a family member taken from this life recently. Where's the healing? Where's the healing? Well, it doesn't mean the healing is not there. Because when Jesus works healing, he may bring immediate healing right now to someone, or he might choose to see it for their good, to be with them through that illness, right through, until he leads them through death into eternal life. And that full healing starts to see reality. Where that full healing will be seen with your own eyes at the resurrection on the last day. That's healing. And that's a confidence to live each day, no matter what our health is like, to have confidence to live each day. You're fully healed in the forgiveness given to you by God's own Son. That healing might yet to be fully realised, but it's there. And there's no greater hope than his resurrection from the dead, because that's the assurance. You, with your own bodies, your flesh and blood, your very eyes, have a healing that awaits them, the resurrection to eternal life. Now, Jesus got many followers because he was able to heal people. But his healing was only backing up his preaching. We know that everything he did gave witness to who he was as the Son of God. And the greatest thing he's done is to heal by his blood shed on a cross. There's something I appreciate with the crucifix here at Longmire. You don't see it in every crucifix you look at, in fact, very few. But from the places of piercing Jesus' body, his hands, his feet and his side, there is the mark of blood coming. Jesus shed his blood for you. That's healing. That's life. Life-giving life. So he's at work here, and we see in this text, which really is deep in so many ways, because he's living out his life with people 24/7, and that's just how he wants to live out his life with you, every moment of every day. That's how he wants to live it. And we know that he's been teaching in the morning in the synagogue. There on the Sabbath, he cleaned a man, made him clean from an unclean spirit. He'd healed him from oppression, from a demonic spirit, giving witness again to who he was, but he had been preaching, teaching, bringing the word of good news, I'm your Saviour. And now, Immediately, Mark tells us, immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew. You see, Jesus' priorities are always centered on the blessing and benefit for people, all people, but he's particularly keen to relieve those who are oppressed by any form of evil. And so he enters their house, and we get another immediately from Mark here. He says, immediately the disciples, and I would assume the two brothers, Simon and Andrew, mention straight away, look, Peter's mother-in-law, she's very, very ill. They have hope in Jesus that he can do amazing things, impossible things, the greatest healer. And they had seen him clean a man from an unclean spirit. How does that compare to being ill? I'd say that's making being ill look pretty insignificant, actually. But they bring that concern to Jesus. They tell her about him. Think for a moment what it means to be part of God's family, to know each other, to listen not to the words going around the town, the so-called gossip, but to listen about real concerns that people have. They have illness, troubles, difficulties. And as God's children, like these two disciples, bringing their needs to Jesus in prayer. What a great witness for us. Immediately. When God brings something to your mind, brings someone to your mind, it's an immediately pray for them. See it as a call to pray. And this is what they did. And what did Jesus do? Well, he didn't delay. He went into Peter's mother-in-law, who would have been living with Peter, and he takes her by the hand and he lifts her up. And the fever left her, and she began to be able to serve them straight away. She was fully, completely healed in that moment. God can do that. Like I said before, if he doesn't choose to do that, he's still healing. But he's working it through time that will lead to eternal healing. So, lifting her up by the hand, and when I heard that, I thought, you know, life can be pretty horrible sometimes, can't it? We can have all sorts of things to trouble and battle with ourselves. And it made me think, he took her by the hand, and that hymn came to mind, take my hand and lead me, O life's rough way, with heavenly manna feed me from day to day. That heavenly manna had reached Simon Peter's mother-in-law with his own hand. It was living and is still living. That heavenly manna is reaching out to you again and again. Every time you hear the preaching of his work, of dying for you on the cross, of rising again. Every time you receive his true body and blood given in the Holy Supper, he's reaching out and lifting you up. You may not feel it immediately at that time, but he begins that point of healing to work through from that moment going forward. And so, someone who can heal like this, the greater healer ever and ever will be, it's no wonder that all of a sudden people wanted to flock to him. They wanted healing. They wanted what he could give them for this life. Not such a bad thing, I guess. But they came, and it's very interesting that Mark notes that evening at sundown. He's particular to say at sundown. Why? Well, being a Sabbath and being under the Jewish law, you're not meant to work on the Sabbath. And they regarded helping someone else in these situations as work. And so you weren't to do that. You'd be condemned under the law for helping someone in need because you were working on the Sabbath. And note how Jesus deals with that. He was healing already on the Sabbath. He had done that before, and he'll do it again. And when he did it, they complained about him working on the Sabbath, and he said, oh, who have you as an ox or you know, something falls into a well, won't you go and draw it out? Won't you rescue it? How much important for me to be bringing healing to people. And Jesus sets no limit. He is working to heal 24/7, all the time, every moment of your life. So when you wake up at 3 a.m. and things are troubling you, and you don't know what to do, he's working to heal you. He's working for you to call on him in prayer. Just cast what is on your mind in words and pour it out to him. And as that unfolds and something else comes into your mind, pray to him about that too. And just enjoy being with him and praying. I know what will happen. You won't know it. Next thing you'll be asleep. And you'll wake up in the morning and you'll be refreshed. And not only that, the first thoughts that you have in the morning, he will be giving you guidance as to how you approach some of those difficult things. What a blessing it is to have that sort of healer. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's always at work. And so much, so often, in the darkness of the night, we wake up and we toss and turn and struggle, don't we? And then you wake up in the morning and you're weary and tired and burnt out. Can't face the day. Isn't that how it goes? Yeah. And yet, he's there. Pour it out to him as the disciples poured out their need. Well, people did bring many, many sick, many with demons to him. And he healed them. He released them from demons. He continued his work to show himself as the saviour of the world. But notice, those demons that he cast out, he did not permit them to speak. He didn't permit them to speak. Why not? Well, it's quite basic, really. They don't have authority to give witness to Jesus. No authority at all. Demons can only speak what is wrong, untruthful, and evil. So even though they know Jesus, they're not going to give testimony to who he is and who God is. God has always appointed people who are going to be proclaiming the truth. The prophets of old in the Old Testament, he appointed the apostles, he has the office of the ministry, appointed people to proclaim the truth. And there's no greater preacher than Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So he quietens the demons because they will never give proper testimony to him. But he has made it possible for you and for me to receive that life-giving word of forgiveness as we hear those with authority who come to proclaim the gospel. Now, something really amazing happens next. The next morning, the disciples are looking for Jesus. They can't find him. Where is he? He's left the house. He's departed. He's gone to a desolate place. And what's he doing? He's praying. Who's he praying to? His Heavenly Father. Now Simon and those who were searching for him, when they found him, they said, "Everyone's looking for you. You are so popular." How would you respond to someone coming to you and saying, "Everyone's looking for you. You are so popular"? I know what my human nature would say. Oh, great, let's go. I'm pretty good. I'm going to be great for them. That's human nature. Priorities Jesus has different. What does Jesus do? He says, "Let's go on to the next town that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out." Yes, he's come for healing. He's come to free from demons. He's come to set you free from everything that would hold you captive and take away life. But he knows to do that, he needs to be able to preach. And he said to the apostles, "Whoever listens to you listens to me." He's speaking every time his word is proclaimed. Every time he says, through the lips of a faithful Christian, the lips of a pastor in a public service, you are forgiven. Jesus has taken all your sin, all your shame, all your guilt. It's not on you anymore. He's taken it all to the cross. By his blood, you have been healed. That's him speaking to us now. And so he continues his work of healing. In John's Gospel, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. That time is now." And the dead he's talking about are those who are spiritually dead, who don't know God as a loving, forgiving Father. And so, the hour has come, is now, when his voice is heard, what he's done for you, and that hearing brings life. You begin to live spiritually. Then Jesus, two verses later, said, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and those who come out, who have done good will be raised to resurrection life. Those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." That's focusing forward to his voice being spoken on the last day. All will be raised, whether they believed in Jesus or not, whether they looked to him as their Saviour or not, all will be raised. But those who believed in him as their Saviour, they will receive eternal life. And what they have done good will be credited to them because they've done it by faith. Those who haven't believed will be raised too. And even if they had done good things, they would have been done without faith and they would be regarded as evil and they would face judgment. So Jesus knows how important it is for his work and his healing, his ministry of the forgiveness of sins to go global, not just here in Langmuir, Tanunda, Southern Barossa, South Australia, Australia, the world. It needs to go global because it's through that he is at work to save the lost. So, what's your priorities? I know I lose focus with my priorities. I tend to put lesser things above things more important. I tend to be a procrastinator, so I can move other things around pretty easily. Things of real priority don't happen. Sometimes our priorities get shifted where the lack of concern for people becomes lost because we're more concerned about how we're going to look after ourselves and so-called feather our own nest in this world. Our priorities can get lost. Make it known. Jesus' priority is for the lost. Jesus' priority is for you. He came for you. And what's the greatest thing Jesus can do for you? I spoke to a lady once. I was interested to see what she believed in her heart. I wanted to plumb the depths of it to just see if she knew Jesus and if not, to share Jesus with her. So I asked her a question. What's the greatest thing that God's ever done in your life? I want you to think about that for a minute. What's the greatest thing God's ever done for you in your life? And she said, "Well, greatest thing he's done, he's healed me from a terrible back condition." Oh, I thought, that's the greatest thing he's done for you. I'm not sure where your heart is. So I asked again, if that's the greatest thing he has done for you, is that it? Is that all? She said, "Oh no, he's also given me children." And I thought, yep, I could get that. For a mother to have children, what a blessing. But is that the greatest thing? So I said, "What about sending Jesus to suffer and die in your place?" shedding his blood to free you from sin, death and the power of the devil, and giving you eternal life. And her response sort of astounded me a little bit. Oh, yeah, he's done all that, yeah. But the greatest thing he's done is... And she went back to those other things. Priorities, brothers and sisters in Christ, priorities. When our priority is set on the greatest thing that Jesus has done for us, his willingness to die in your place, in my place, that sets everything else in order. If he's so powerful that he can do that and forgive sin, yours and mine, then he can take care of all our illnesses. He can bless us with things in life. He can assure us that he's with us. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, give us your Spirit that our minds and our hearts are prioritized on your Son Jesus and what he's done for us. To love us, to forgive us, to heal us, and to bring us a life that will never end. A life that awaits the glory of being with you in heaven. Then with that priority, set everything else in our life atune, that we may be your agents of peace and healing for others. We ask all these things purely on all that you've done for us, the merits, the gift, the blessing of your Son Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.